With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drive for Show DFS for Doe here on Roto Grinders, bringing you another week of golf talk here this week. We're another week closer to the Masters. Had a fun tournament last week as well, in which my lineup set some all-time records. We'll chat about that here to start the show, but just by way of introduction, I am Justin Van Zuten, STL Cardinals 84. I have Mr. Derek Notorious Farnsworth alongside. And Noto, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up? The year of long shots continues. Yellow ball, bucket hat, Peter Malnati gets the job done. Didn't see that coming. Yeah, pretty wild tournament.
Yeah, it seems like every time he contends, he kind of comes out of nowhere, so good for him, obviously, getting the W, and it didn't matter to me because I set all sorts of futility records last week. I just couldn't believe how awful my player pool was. I cashed $0 last week, so apologies to anyone if you tailed some of my picks last week. They were terrible. Everybody has weeks like that. But I set, I think, a record here on the snake draft. Like, I've had some 0-6 lineups in regular contests, but you got to think, I mean, in these snake drafts with six of us, we're only selecting 72 golfers. So we basically only have half of the field, the top half of the field. And I somehow still managed to get zero guys through the cut. And we even draft seven guys because you get the bench player. So all sorts of world records here with 0 out of 7 making it through in my snake draft lineup. Patrick Rogers, Keegan Bradley, Brian Harman, Bud Cauley, Victor Perez, Sung J M, and Berger, all with a missed cut. And a few of them weren't very close to the cut line. So, yeah, you finished second from last, and you still beat me by 100 points. So, needless to say, it was not a good week for me. If you cashed anything, you had a better week than me. So how's it going?
Yeah, we continue to just be free money in the snake draft. So, yeah, easiest money on DraftKings right now is joining our six-man snake. But, man, I had a good week of DFS. Should have been a lot better. Needed Sam Burns to par his last hole. And there were like 8 of us sweating it in the Discord. He hit the green. We were all excited. Then he three-putted. And then DraftKings and the PGA Tour site both changed the bogey to a par. So then we thought he made it. And then they changed it back to a bogey. So it was a sweat on a sweat. Otherwise, it was a pretty good week. Other than, man, did you see Justin Thomas on Saturday?
I did. That's a lot of lost putting strokes.
Yeah, had an outright.
But hold up. How much was this swinging for you?
I don't know. I ended up cashing. I did two main tournament lineups, cashing everything with both of them. So I didn't go and look. I wouldn't have won.
Well, I mean, it's not like a 50K swing or something like that.
No, it would probably just double up or who knows, but I mean, both of them still cashed with 5 of 6, but Burns was pretty popular. But yeah, and then had an outright on JT and had to watch that go up in flames on Saturday.
Yeah, that was certainly something. I did not follow the weekend obviously as close as the first couple of days after my rosters were pretty well dead in the water. Didn't get showdown entries in, but it was a weird week. I mean, a lot of the guys, right? If you look at, so effectively we're taking most of the top 72 players in the snake draft. I had 7 miscuts. Noto had 5 miscuts, so that's 12. M. Flores had 4 miscuts, so that's 16. Gasman had 4 miscuts, that's 20. And then the top two, I believe, only had 3 total. So 23 golfers, and my math is horrible here, but we're not even taking that. There's 6 of us taking 7 golfers, so we're only taking 42 golfers, not 72 golfers. So of effectively the top 42 golfers that we're selecting, 23 of them missed the cut last week. So I mean, it was obviously a weird week for some of the chalkier players. Lots of guys missing the cut that had a good amount of ownership, and those weeks do tend to happen from time to time, especially when you see, you know, fields get a little bit weaker. And we've got kind of that case again this week. So it was just a week where if you were able to avoid the landmines, you probably had a decent week. Kind of a hodgepodge leaderboard there. Xander did finish up in T5, 4 shots back. But the rest of the top 10, quite a few kind of lower tier names in there. As well, Cameron Young continues to impress. He had another strong week, finishing runner-up to Malnati. But otherwise, it was a lot of landmines with the top golfers last week. Your boy Kevin Roy with the T12. So, I mean, if Roy's finishing up in the top 15, you just know it's a wild week. But I am ready to put that week aside. I guess the other big storyline, Keith Mitchell, 6 over on Sunday, pretty much full eject mode. Went from Saturday leader to like mid 30th place before he did make an eagle coming in that put him back up a little bit. But Keith couldn't get the job done either. I was kind of rooting for him on Sunday since I didn't have anything else to root for, but that didn't go well either. And yeah, I'm pretty much ready to just move on from last week. Anything else?
Yeah, I need to talk about one more thing. I don't know if you watched the broadcast on Sunday. Peter Malnati on his 16th hole. Yeah, hits it in the rough over the green, had a really bad lie.
Yes.
Right next to the sprinkler head. Okay, gets a free drop. Nearest point of relief, says it's a little bit closer to the green, and then he gets a full club length from there. Gets a drop in the fringe. I've never understood this rule, why you can go from the rough to the fringe. I get the one club length, the drop rule, all that stuff, but why do they let you go from one surface to another? That's never made sense to me.
Well, and you see this sometimes too. Like, you think about some of the greens that are surrounded by water, and depending on where it crosses, like, you can see guys hit the ball in the water and get to place their drop on the green, which is not the same thing as you're talking about, but it's similar, and that doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, that one, at least, like, if it covers a part of the green and then goes in the water, it makes a little bit of sense.
It makes some sense, but you just get to drop the ball on the green. You didn't hit the green. You hit the water. Yeah. You might have rolled through the green, but the ball still went in the water. And, I mean, I get it. You know, some places like the Island Green at Sawgrass, where you're going to drop from. But I don't know. The whole rules, sir, I mean, we could talk for a half an hour about this, but the whole rules surrounding drops in general are so difficult to understand. You know, we had the whole thing with Rory a couple weeks ago, and there's judgment calls as to where the ball crossed the margin of the hazard. And then this scenario that you're talking about, you know, getting a relief from a sprinkler head and managing to get a drop basically in the first cut. I don't know. It's all weird to me, and it's probably never going to change. But yeah, I agree with your thought process, among many other things that I think are weird with golf drop rules.
My least favorite is when golfers have to hit it with their opposite hand because they're like up against a tree or something. And then if they get a free drop from that because they're standing on the card pad, then they can drop and then hit it right-handed, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But, yeah, a lot of weird rules in golf. Happy for Malnati. You know, his post-round interview was really cool. But watching it at the time, man, a lot of people out there had Cam Young tickets and got a feel for them.
Yeah, I can't imagine there were as many Malnati tickets. I would be willing to bet that the sports books are up quite a bit this year on people betting outright wins in golf, just because there's been so many no-names. It's basically been a no-name or Scottie Scheffler most weeks. And you're not even getting, you're not getting much of a price on Scheffler these days. Like plus 250 this week on some of the sports books, which is just insane. We haven't seen those odds in a long time. So we'll talk about that, of course, here throughout the show. And yeah, we'll go ahead and put a bow on last week and move on ahead to a new week. We've got the Houston Open this week, which does not have a title sponsor. It had changed sponsorships quite a few times over the last few years. It also changed times of the year. It was used to be contested around this time. The past few years it was contested in the fall swing, and then last year there was no Houston Open, and then it got moved back to the spring this year. So the last time this event was held was in the fall of 22. That was when the wraparound season still existed, so it was actually held in the 2022-2023 season. So you might see labels that say the event was held, you know, in the 2023 season. Don't get that confused, though. That was actually back in the fall of 2022. So we haven't had this event for a year and a half. We do have the same course hosting that has hosted the last few times. Memorial Park will be the host course this week. And what do we need to know about this tournament, Noto?
Yeah, I like this event much better in the spring, just because it's kind of a nice warm-up for the Masters. It's a really difficult golf course. The first three times we've seen it, it ranked 11th, 9th, and 8th in terms of difficulty, and that includes the majors. So this is one of the toughest non-major venues that we've seen on the PGA Tour. I think the biggest difference in terms of the time of year is going to be the grass on the greens. In the fall, they were, you know, pure Bermuda grass. Now they're going to be Poa Trivilis, I don't know how to say that, overseed. So that's kind of what we've seen at a couple other places. I think last week had the same type of greens as well. And the course, it's a par 70, but it's really long. It's 7,400 yards, and it features three par threes, three par fives, and a drivable par four. Outside of that, you can have a lot of long par fours on the scorecard. Fairways, pretty average in size. Greens are pretty large, but both of those are pretty tough to hit on average. So going to have a lot of work to do around the green. And they kind of built this course, or at least redesigned it, with thoughts that it could be challenging for the pros and easier for the amateurs. So this is a municipal golf course. You're going to see 60,000 rounds played on it every year. But there's only 21 bunkers on the entire course. So that does play into the amateur side of things, where, you know, I hate playing out of the bunkers, and most other amateurs do as well. And then the pros prefer the bunkers, and there's not very many on this course. So going to see a lot of mown off areas close to the greens, going to have a lot of tight lie chip shots, which something that you're going to see at Augusta National here in a few weeks. Looking for a strong tee to green golfers. Doesn't hurt to be long off the tee here. Past winners, Tony Finau, Jason Kokrak, Carlos Ortiz, all pretty good tee to green golfers. And don't mind taking some bad putters. The tougher the course, the more demanding it is tee to green.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and it's a course that's been challenging for even the good putters to putt. So team no putt very much in play this week. Like playing the tee to green angle, the bomber angle for sure myself this week. And before we get going here, just a reminder, there has never been a better time to sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. We've got NBA still going on, obviously golf here. College hoops is still in full swing with the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. MMA is always going on. And of course, baseball season starts on Thursday, right around the corner. So you can get yourself a 6-month combo subscription to Roto Grinders at an exclusive price of $469.99. That's a savings of $250 instead of buying 6 individual months of combo premium. You can also give it a test drive with a 3-day pass for $19.99 if you are looking to test it out before you dive in. So you can check out the link in the description of the video for more info and plenty of great stuff over at Roto Grinders. New look and feel to the site as well that has gotten pretty good feedback. So check us out if you are not a premium subscriber already at rotogrinders.com. And if you are watching us on social media tonight, if you're watching us on Twitter, a reminder that you can check us out as well on our Roto Grinders YouTube channel and leave us a comment and live chat during the show. And of course, you can give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the YouTube channel, all those good things available as well. All right, let's go ahead and dig in to the field this week. Obviously, a weaker field than what we've seen in a lot of these recent events. And, you know, pretty much a couple guys at the top that, well, deserve to be there, obviously. Scheffler is in the field this week. DraftKings has him up to 13K. He has won his last two events. Wyndham Clark has finished second to Scheffler in both of those events. And he is in the field as well at 10.9K on DraftKings. I think those two guys have separated themselves, at least as of late. But Scheffler did get the price bump this week. And we're looking at like 40% ownership maybe on him, higher probably on FanDuel, where the pricing is a little bit easier to navigate. I mean, we haven't seen this kind of golf in probably since Tiger maybe. So what do we do with Scheffler and Clark at the top this week?
Yeah, I don't know what the number normally is, but there are only 14 golfers that are priced above the average salary this week on DraftKings. So that's just naturally going to gravitate a bunch of ownership to the top. The floor is $5,000 on DraftKings. The pricing on FanDuel is always soft. So for me, it's hard to get away from Scheffler. I know he was dealing with the neck issue at the Players Championship, but he wouldn't be here if he was hurting at all. He would definitely withdraw before the start of the tournament. So I'm not worried about the neck injury from Texas, back-to-back wins. Played here three times, two top tens. It's hard for me to see him struggling this week, and there's so many good value plays that I have a hard time not being overweight on Scheffler. I'll probably just lock him in. I do this a couple times a year, and I think this will be one of them. How are you approaching it?
Yeah, I tend to get stubborn, so when I see 13K and 40% ownership, it's tough for me to pull the trigger on a lock button. But I get it. I mean, obviously, if you're playing cash games, I don't think there's any reason to even question it. I think you just play him for the block and move on. But once again, I'm at the point where I don't want a Scheffler to ruin my week when he does what he does. So I'll probably end up playing him. But I mean, if he comes in at 40%, at 40% at 13K, I don't know. I think I'll be underweight. But I mean, it's not like I'm saying that with a whole lot of conviction.
His top 10 odds are minus 230. That's the best price in the market. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
If he finishes seventh, you're probably going to need him.
I don't know. I mean, depends on what you're – if he finishes seventh at 13 – if he finishes seventh at 13K, I dispute the need him. But
there's only 13 other guys that you could choose from. If they don't all crush, then you're going
to
need
them. Yeah, I mean, you're going to need to – basically, it would require a couple of the other, you know, 9,500-plus guys to be the guys you pick, and those two guys both out-duel Scheffler, I guess. You know, if you start, say, Zalatoris, Finau, and they both finish inside the top five, and Scheffler finishes seventh, I think you can – beat that with a Zalatoris Finau start or something like that.
Okay, here's another question. What about if he finishes fifth? Do you need him?
I don't know. Does he finish fifth with like 10 birdies and a whole bunch of pars, or is he making a couple eagles? Or, you know, it depends on the scoring mechanics.
Just for the debate, we probably need him, right? Because right now his implied odds of finishing in the top five are like, he's minus 125, so that gives him like a, 60% chance to finish in the top five? And that's more than his ownership?
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know. I said I'm stubborn.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, too. And maybe I end up changing my tune there. I don't know. I liked it better. I said I liked it better last week when he wasn't playing and my lineups were horrible. So.
Yeah, it's tough right now.
it's just a tough decision to make. Like, then the neck thing is there and the Masters in a couple weeks. Like, if you fade him and then he withdraws or something, oh man, you're just sitting pretty. But I mean, that you're just hoping it's not the strategy to take. But the smart money is probably on playing him because he's probably going to win again. And then, you know, but right now he's in my build at 25%. We'll see where the week goes on that. And that, you know, the pivots, obviously Clark is there, Tigala and Zalatoris are your other golfers above 10K. I do really like the fit for Zalatoris here. Team No Putt, happy to have him along with that this week. He did miss the cut at the Players, but other than that, have been playing really well. I'm not concerned about that. I think his ownership will end up being just a little bit lower because he doesn't have the course history here and the missed cut at the Players. I think we maybe got him a little high right now, but so I do like Zalatoris. You got any thoughts on any of these other top end guys? And if not, you can start to go in the 9Ks.
Yeah, right there with you on Zalatoris. Missed cut at the Players, but not too worried about that. Prior to that, fourth and second. Great tee to green, loves these difficult courses, lives in Dallas, so he's got the Texas connection. So he'd be my next favorite. Tigala, he's been playing great, bunch of top 10 finishes, most of his short game. And then Clark's obviously, you know, back-to-back runner-ups to Scheffler. That's gonna, he's probably hating Scheffler more than we do.
right. But
I was trying to look it up. Has any golfer ever won three straight tournaments? I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but.
Well, I mean, three straight tournaments in which they've played, obviously, because Scheffler didn't play last week.
So when I Google it, it just comes up with the same tournament three times.
The following represents golfers who have won at least three consecutive starts in PGA Tour events. The list relates to consecutive events that they played in. They generally miss some events during their streak. So this is exactly what you're talking about. Byron Nelson with 11 in a row in 1945.
What?
Tiger had a streak of 7.
Oof.
Ben Hogan 6, Tiger 6, Tiger 5, Hogan 4, Byron Nelson 4. There's quite a few with 3. The last 3 consecutive wins was Dustin Johnson in 2017.
All right, so a little more popular than I thought.
Yeah, the Genesis Open and then another event and then a WGC in March. I can't find the third one was the match play. Boy, I missed that. It's always around this time of year. It was exactly, how about that? It was 7 years ago today that he won, that Dustin Johnson won his third straight event, beating John Rahm in the match play. There you go. 7 years ago today.
Yeah, I'm usually in Austin right now watching the match play. Sad.
Alas, it is no longer here. But, yeah, so, okay, a little bit more. So DJ in 2017, Rory in 2014, and then prior to that, Vijay Singh in 2004.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There you go. Food for thought for the day. All right. Anything else on these top guys? Otherwise, what do we do with the 9Ks?
Yeah, 9Ks are interesting. Doesn't look like it's getting a lot of ownership. Finau at 11%. It's always interesting. Defending champ. Obviously, it wasn't last year, but defending champ from 18 months ago or whatever it was. His iron numbers have been great this year. He just hasn't been able to string together all of his stats at the same time. Siwoo Kim's gained at least 5.7 strokes, tee to green in 5 of his last 6 starts, so he's hitting the ball really well right now. Jason Day won in Texas last year, 3 for 3 here, a couple top 10s recently. Those would be my favorites, and I think I'm probably going to be overweight on all three of them. I mean, even if you start Scheffler, you can get one of these 9Ks pretty easy just because of the 5K pricing this week.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, there's not a whole lot else to choose from at the top. I mean, it's a pretty thin field. So I don't mind guys that have had some success here too. I mean, success on a difficult course. You mentioned a few of those guys in the 9K range. Day has made the cut all three times he's played here. I think my favorite in this range is going to be Noren. Always a guy that's, you know, he's capable with his long irons. He finished fourth here in the fall of 2022. Always a guy that nobody ever seems to like to play, tends to come in, you know, flying under the radar a little bit. 9,400, that's pretty expensive. But Noren with a T9 and a T19 in his last two starts. The T19 was at the Players. So Noren at 9,400, I think, is my favorite guy in this range in terms of where my exposure will be. Don't mind playing Finau. Certainly don't mind playing Day. But Noren, I'll probably have a little bit more exposure to than those guys. What about Keith Mitchell? A course that you'd think would suit his game, but after that collapse on Sunday, I mean, if he would have finished like T3 last week, everybody would be on Mitchell here. But now, you know, it's just kind of whatever.
Yeah, or if he was like 50th before the final round and then jumped up to T24. It's just funny how we look at things. I mean, I was looking at strokes gained tee to green over the last 50 rounds or something, and he's like third in this field. So certainly a good course fit. He's played here 3 times, top 10 the last time he played it. So I don't hate it. Everyone's going to be off of him because of the bad Sunday round. I don't mind it. And then Hoagie's just been on fire with the irons. He's gained at least 3.7 strokes on approach in 7 straight, which is really tough to do. Went to TCU, so he's got the Texas narrative as well. So it's a pretty strong 9K range. I do like the Noren call. I think he's probably going to be the lowest owned of the bunch. So I've heard some people talk up Finau. Everyone loves Hoagie stats. So I think your Noren call might be the lowest owned.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up just sneaking in there by the time Thursday comes around. And, you know, he's not elite at any one thing. He's not really outspoken. He just, you know, never really comes up as the guy anyone wants to play. There's always maybe somebody that looks just a little better here or there in, you know, whatever price range he's at for that week. So give me Noren, particularly in GPPs, as a strong play. All right, as we move down to the 8Ks, Mr. Jaeger is probably going to be happy that the Florida swing ended. Saw him cool off there with 3 events in Florida, 2 missed cuts, and a T44 for our boy Jaeger in Florida. Bo Hostler always tends to like playing in Texas. This is kind of where he made his career relevant, playing well in Texas events. He's gotten a little bit better outside of those events in recent years, but just not a whole lot in here in the 8K range. Aaron Rye, Patrick Rogers, Billy Horschel coming off a top 15 finish. Anything you like in here? I think this kind of 83 to 8900 range, just not a whole lot here.
Yeah, I do like Steven Jaeger. Bet him this week at 50 to 1. I thought that was a pretty good number. I mean, he's been in contention a bunch of times recently, and I was looking for a reason to bet him, and he's won on the Corn Ferry Tour 6 times. Can you believe that?
I would not have guessed that. No,
I thought it was like once or twice, but yeah, he's won 6 times on the Corn Ferry Tour. T9, T35 here, really good tee to green, so I like him. We've been waiting and waiting for a Hostler in Texas, so even though he's missed back-to-back cuts, got to play him here. Rye's been pretty good at this course. So I don't mind playing those 3, but I don't love anyone else outside of maybe some Doug Gim. You know, we had 5 straight top 20s before. Pretty disappointing weekend at the Valspar.
Yeah, and last week was the week that everybody was on him, so there'll be a little bit of lag with people not wanting to play Gim this week after basically finishing last out of guys that made the cut last week. He's still pretty cheap, and, you know, he can join up on Team No Putt occasionally as well. Usually pretty good from tee to green. So, yeah, especially given that there's not a whole lot in this range, like, I'm okay with giving him as well at 8,200. And this could also be an interesting bounce back spot if you're taking the bomber angle for Jake Knapp. I mean, we talked of a couple events there after he won, had another top five, a couple of courses that didn't really suit his game all that well, had one horrible round at the API. But this course should fit him a lot better. I think it's really interesting spot for Knapp at 8K. So, and I think Kitayama's getting some love as well. So I'd rather skip out on the higher end of the 8Ks and go with a Gim, Kitayama, or Knapp. I actually kind of like all three of those guys at the back end.
We actually have Kitayama and Knapp in the Made Cup parlay this week for the Discord. So if you want to hop on that, hop in the Discord, come tilt with us on Friday.
All right. Anything else? Otherwise, you can start firing off some of the guys you like in the upper part of the 7Ks this week.
Probably it for me in the 8s, in the 7s. Man, Luke List is going to be chalky. I don't love that. He's lost the round the green in 9 of his last 10.
And now you're doing it. You're testing the waters again.
This time I'm not saying putting. I'm around the green. So he's going to chip in like 4 times. But yeah, that scares me. I think he's missed a cut here in the past. I love this range, to be honest. I mean, Cam Davis always gets a bunch of ownership, but he's so volatile. Mackenzie Hughes at 14%. I mean, I get it. 3 straight top 30s here, 3 straight top 30s on tour. But if he doesn't gain 8 strokes putting, he's not finishing in the top 30. So Chalky Hughes worries me a little. Is there anyone else you have conviction
on? Yeah, it's not a great range. I think Taylor Moore's all right. You know, he's made 8 cuts to start the year, brought him up as a back-end play last week. Did not play him, and he did better than basically everyone I did play. So he'll be in my player pool this week for sure, since this range is so weak. Akshay, I think, is fine. But, yeah, I think Taylor Moore is probably my favorite in here. If you're going down to – like 7,400, KH Lee does have 2 top 10 finishes in the last month. He tends to be a little bit hit or miss, but in a weak field, you know, this range, I think more KH Lee. Maybe I'll even hop aboard my boy Ryan Fox on a driver heavy course, though that's that takes some intestinal fortitude, but maybe sprinkle him into some GPP lineups as well. Just because there's not a whole lot here. So if you're looking for a safe guy, it's probably somebody like Hubbard or Damon who's been playing well. But, yeah, KH Lee, Ryan Fox, I've kind of gone drifted down to the bottom of the 7K range, but those are the guys I like for tournaments.
Do you think Fox outscored some of the guys at the Players, even though he missed the cut?
Possibly.
He got the hole
because
in
of
one,
the ace and the eagle.
Yeah. And played pretty tough for some on the weekend. In the lower 7s, Joel Damon's going to be the chalk. I think I'm just going to eat it. Look at his ball striking numbers the last 2 weeks. He gained 10 last week and then gained 9.2 the week before that. Then you look at his course history, 9th and 5th. Man, it's hard not to like that at 7,100. If he ends up missing the cut, everyone will say, he's an obvious bad chalk. But I'm saying he's obvious good chalk. Also like Mark Hubbard down at the bottom. He was top 5 in tee to green at the Players, just couldn't putt. One of those guys that's pretty good everywhere except with the driver. So if he just keeps it in play, I think he'll be fine. And then I'm guessing you'll like Davis Thompson. Seems like it's a pretty good spot for
him. I don't know. The last few weeks I've kind of gotten him wrong. So I always kind of like playing him a little bit. But the back-to-back miscuts worries me. And he's fine. I don't have a strong take on him this week, though.
Maybe he just doesn't like all the water in Florida.
Could be. Yeah, the switch from Florida. Novak is the guy that got back on. We find, you know, faded him at the Players, obviously. And he had some ownership there because he was coming off 3 straight top 10s. Back on the horse with a T17 last week for Andrew Novak at 6,900. That's going to get him some ownership. I think I prefer Sam Ryder there. But both Ryder and Novak at 6,900 are going to get their share of ownership this week. You know, I think they're both solid plays if you want a guy down there. What do you like as we head to the upper 6Ks?
Yeah, I'm on team Novak over Ryder as well. Novak's been doing it the ball striking. And Ryder, he's a good iron player, but he's gained 20 strokes putting in 3 events. That's just not sustainable. So if he's going to be popular, he's 0-2 here as well. So I'm perfectly fine fading Ryder. I've played him the last few weeks. But now I'm going to hop off. I like Bramlett. He's a good tee to green guy, 6,600. And that's it, 65 and up. I'll have some more in the lower.
Yeah, I like Bramlett. I put Bramlett in my GPP article this week, so I think he's a strong play, especially if the ownership stays down around 5%. I don't have a whole lot in the bottom part of the 6K range. I'm sure people will see driver heavy, and they'll, you know, Cam Champ will come up. You know, that's really the argument behind him at this point. So I get it if you want to do it, but you can go back to Bud Colley after a miscut last week at 6,200. I don't like a whole lot else. And again, this is part of, though, right now I'm underweight on Scheffler. So I don't have to dip down super low. Like if you're playing a lot of Scheffler plus one of the other top guys, yeah, maybe you do need to go in the low 6Ks or even the 5Ks to try to find an option. But if you have delved deeper into that range and found something you like, well, anything good down here?
So the model loves Nate Lashley, which is a little strange given his results this year. He's played 7 events, 5 miscuts, 2 top 13 finishes, but he's above the field average in every single strokes gained stat, which was a little surprising to me. Also above field average in birdie or better and bogey avoidance. So a lot of his miscuts.
Missed a lot of cuts on the number then, or the field just is that bad?
Yeah, missed by 2, missed by 3, missed by 1, missed by 2, missed by 1. So he's been real close. 6,000. He's number 25 in my model overall, and he's like the 70th most expensive. So I'll play some Lashley. I like Dylan Wu's coming off of back-to-back top 25s. Chan Kim's a guy that's been making a lot of birdies and making a lot of cuts this year. And then if you want to dip into the 5K range, Brandon Wu, I don't mind him. And Johnny Vegas. So he hasn't been great in terms of his finishes, but if you look at the ball striking, he's been
gaining. Putting has just been horrible.
Yeah, around the green too. But he's 2 for 2 here. He's 5,600. He's finished 26th and 44th here. And much like Lashley, he's just missing cuts right on the numbers. So we just got to get him one extra stroke on the greens, and he's going to be around for the weekend.
I had him in my player pool at the Mexico Open, and he made the cut, but he shot a 75 on Sunday, and he made 11 bogeys and 4 doubles on the week, and then he missed the cut last week. I don't think I can right now. I got sucked in a couple weeks ago with the tee to green numbers, and boy, the greens on and around the greens just so bad for him right now. I'm cool with Wu. Either Wu, but Brandon Wu, if you're down into the 5Ks, I think I'm out on Vegas this week. I don't see a whole lot else down here. If somebody else comes up, we can chat about them. But
the Ric Flair double Wu lineup?
The double Wu lineup. You can definitely get Scheffler if you roll the double Wu lineup for sure. So, right.
John's asking about Texas native Ryan Palmer.
Well, better than on a Florida course.
Only 4 water hazard, so.
He has not finished in the top 50 yet this year in 5 events, so I think that's a pass right now.
Oh, one other guy, Chandler Phillips, just
turned pro. I think he's okay.
Pro, nearly mustache.
Yeah, you know, he was obviously top 5 last week. He's had some decent results this year, hit or miss. I think he's okay in GPPs as well. All right. Well, it is the time of the show where we set up the snake draft, and then Noto's mic will mute when we get through a round or two. So we'll see if that happens again this week. But if you are not continuing on, if you're not interested in doing the snake draft, feel free to hop off. But check us out again on the YouTube channel. Leave us a thumbs up there. And also a reminder that we're partnering with BetSports Golf. Great tools over there with their rabbit hole tool where you can get a lot of stat filters. Basically go down the rabbit hole appropriately enough and find yourself. You can even create a mixed model for the week. So check that out. BetSports Golf. We can get a link in the YouTube for that as well. All right. And with that, we'll sign off for those of you that aren't continuing on with the snake draft. Thank you, as always, for checking us out. We'll be back next week with we'll be just 1 week away from the Masters at that point. So